Well, good morning, everybody. I know we're here for the big celebration of Jesus and his birth and Christmas, and what a great time that is. But Kari and I have a secondary celebration that we're here for. We want to talk to you about that.
We got the best Christmas gift yesterday that we can even think of. It's just so awesome. We are not here in an official capacity, but Kelly and I and my sister own a business, and it's a publishing services company. And we are so excited, and I don't know if you know anything about books or anything like that, but we have the newest published author and illustrator on the Amazon best sellers list. So Arby and Selway, come on up here. Come on. We have been watching the numbers very carefully, and last night they became Amazon bestsellers.
There you go. This is for your autograph.
And this is their book, Meet My Friend Bob. And we are so proud of them. What a beautiful Christmas gift. And this book is about a wonderful man who had some great qualities that Arby had a dream to teach children. But I have to tell you, these are qualities we adults need also. So we are just super, super proud of these two people. And so you're 17, and for the rest of your life, you get the title of Amazon best-selling illustrator. That's pretty amazing. You never lose that title, so it's pretty cool. So thank you, guys. You're amazing. Here's Johnny.
That's pretty cool. All right. Well, today's going to be a little bit different for everybody today. We're going to have a lot of Bible reading and a lot of singing. And we're going to do a lot of Christmas songs. So our choir could come up, our people can come on up right now and get ready. But we just want to encourage you guys, you can sit down, you can stand up, whatever, but just praise God with us, would you? And as we go through these readings, just honor the Lord with your heart this morning and giving him your best this morning, would you? It is Christmas Eve, right? Amen. All right. So we'll start. You're the first one.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was fully God. The Word was with God in the beginning. All things were created by him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 14 through 15. The Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the wild beasts and all the living creatures of the field. On your belly you will crawl, and dust you will eat all the days of your life. And I will put hostility between you and the woman, and between you, your offspring and her offspring. Her offspring will attack your head, and you will attack her offspring's heel."
Verses 4 through 7. "For their oppressive yoke and the club that strikes their shoulders and the cudgel of the oppressor uses on them, you have shattered, as in the day of Midian's defeat. Indeed, every boot that marches and shakes the earth and every garment dragged through blood is used as fuel for the fire. For a child has been born to us. A son has been given to us. He shoulders responsibility and is called Extraordinary Strategist, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His dominion will be vast, and he will bring immeasurable prosperity. He will rule on David's throne and over David's kingdom, establish it and strengthening it by promoting justice and fairness. From this time forward and forevermore, the Lord's intense devotion to his people will accomplish this.
John 1:4-14. In him was life, and the life was the light of mankind, and the light shines on in the darkness, but the darkness has not mastered it. A man came, sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify about the light, so that everyone might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify about the light. The true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was created by him, but the world did not recognize him. He came to what was his own, but his own people did not receive him. But to all who have received him, those who believe in his name, he has given the right to become God's children. Children not born by human parents, or by human desire, or by a husband's decision, but by God. Now the Word became flesh and took up residence among us. We saw his glory, and the glory of the one and only, full of grace and truth, who came from the Father.
Would you stand with us as we sing?
Virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled by the words and began to wonder about the meaning of this greeting. So the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. Listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will never end." Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I have not had sexual relations with a man?" The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And look, your relative Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son in her old age. Although she was called barren, she is now in her womb her sixth month. For nothing will be impossible with God. So Mary said, "Yes, I am the servant of the Lord. Let this happen to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. Joseph.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night.
Because Joseph, her husband-to-be, was a righteous man, and because he did not want to disgrace her, he intended to divorce her privately. When he had contemplated this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because the child conceived her in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." This happened so that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet would be fulfilled. "Look, the virgin will conceive and bear a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did what the angel of the Lord told him. He took his wife, but did not have marital relations with her until she gave birth to a son, who she named Jesus.
Luke 2:4-16. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. In Max Lucado's book, In the Manger, he writes, "A small cathedral outside Bethlehem marks the supposed birthplace of Jesus. Behind a high altar in the church is a cave, a little cavern lit by silver lamps. You can enter this main edifice and admire the ancient church. You can also enter the quiet cave where a star embedded in the floor recognizes the birth of the king. There is one stipulation, however. You have to stoop. The door is so low you can't go in standing up. The same is true of the Christ. You can see the world standing tall, but to witness the Savior, you have to get on your knees. So at the birth of Jesus, while the theologians were sleeping and the elite were dreaming and the successful were snoring, the meek were kneeling. They were kneeling before the one only the meek will see. They were kneeling in front of Jesus." All my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never do. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. For all that have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah, hallelujah. I've got one response. I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.
Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. So come on, my soul, don't you get shy on me. you get shy on me. Lift up your song. You got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Jesus Messiah. Jehovah Jireh. El Shaddai, Mighty God, Prince of Peace, Wonderful Counselor, Emmanuel, God with us.
So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again.
Stand with us. Come on and stand. Oh, come all ye faithful.
Oh, come all ye faithful. Joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye. Oh, come. Peace, mighty God.
pretty normal Sunday, eh? You guys still got some songs in you?
Yes.
You can still praise the Lord right now? Is that all right? Amen. Good. We got a few more with you and some more reading of the word. So you're welcome again. Just to let you know, you're welcome to sit or stand. Just like we said, just please worship God this morning.
Angels, we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plain, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strain. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
King of kings, salvation brings. Let us
After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, in the time of King Herod, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was alarmed, and all Jerusalem with him. After assembling all the chief priests and experts in the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they said, "for it is written this way by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are in no way least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod privately summoned the wise men and determined from them when the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and look carefully for the child. When you find him, inform me so that I can go and worship him as well." After listening to the king, they left, and once again, the star they saw when it rose led them until it stopped above the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they shouted joyfully. As they came into the house and saw the child with Mary, his mother, they bowed down and worshiped him. They opened their treasure boxes and gave him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. After being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they went back by another route to their own country.
Isaiah 11, 1 through 15. "A shoot will grow out of Jesse's rootstock. A bud will sprout from its roots. The Lord's Spirit will rest on him, a spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom, a spirit that provides the ability to execute plans, a spirit that produces absolute loyalty to the Lord. He will take delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions on the basis of hearsay. He will treat the poor fairly and make right decisions for the downtrodden of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and order the wicked to be executed. Justice will be like a belt around his waist. Integrity will be like a belt around his hips. A wolf will reside with a lamb, and a leopard will lie down with a young goat. An ox and a young lion will graze together as a small child leads them along. A cow and a bear will graze together. Their young will lie down together. A lion, like an ox, will eat straw. A baby will play over the hole of a snake, over the nest of a serpent. An infant will put his hand. They will no longer injure or destroy on my entire royal mountain, for there will be universal submission to the Lord's sovereignty, just as the waters completely cover the sea."
At that time, a root from Jesse will stand like a signal flag for the nations. Nations will look to him for guidance, and his residence will be majestic. At that time, the sovereign master will again lift his hand to reclaim the remnant of his people from Assyria, Egypt, Pathros, Cush, Elam, Shinar, Hamath, and the seacoasts. He will lift a signal flag for the nations. He will gather Israel's dispersed people and assemble Judah's scattered people. From the four corners of the earth, Ephraim's jealousy will end, and Judah's hostility will be eliminated. Ephraim will no longer be jealous of Judah, and Judah will no longer be hostile toward Ephraim. They will swoop down on the Philistine hills to the west. Together, they will loot the people of the east. They will take over Edom and Moab, and the Ammonites will be their subjects. The Lord will divide the gulf of the Egyptian Sea. He will wave his hand over the Euphrates River, and send a strong wind. He will turn it into seven dried up streams and enable them to walk across in their sandals. There will be a highway leading out of Assyria for the remnant of his people, just as there was for Israel when they went up from the land of Egypt. Let's pray real quick, okay, before we go into the next session. God, we just thank you so much. We celebrate this day that you sent your son Jesus to earth, God. God, to be the payment for our sin. And God, we just praise you. God, what a miraculous moment in time that we will celebrate forever. God, I am so thankful for when we are living in right now, where we can look back and see when the Messiah came. God, and we can invite him into our hearts. Make him our King. God, we thank you. We thank you. We praise you this morning. We celebrate. Praise you, Lord, in your name. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys may be seated. That was fun, wasn't it? Yeah. I do kind of need one, yeah. All right. Well, we're going to release children ages 3 through 5th grade. They can head over with Trina over here. She's got a little fun planned with them. Don't worry. You won't be separated from your kids on Christmas Eve very long. I don't speak very much, so you're going to be good. Actually, you might actually enjoy being away from them for a few minutes, huh? Not your kids. They're too awesome. All right. That was beautiful. That all kind of came together this morning. No, I'm just kidding. That, we did have some of that planned, but it was very fun to like get together the two pieces of the service and just put it together like that. It was amazing to worship together with you guys this morning. So thank you for letting us do that, be a little bit different this morning and being a part of that. I'm going to talk about choices a little bit today. You know, let's go to 1 John, actually. I do want to make sure that we read this verse. 1 John 5, 11 through 12. I guess I wrote it down. I don't have to look it up. And this is the testimony God has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. So with that, like I said, I'm trying to talk about choices. So we didn't choose to be created. And some people get really frustrated with the fact that they're even created, you know, whatever. But hey, you didn't get to choose that. That was God's choice and God's sovereign, right? God is right in what he does. And so he created you, right? And he chose when you would be born. And another thing that wasn't chosen for us, that was chosen for us, we didn't choose for ourselves yet, maybe, is that we didn't choose for Jesus to come roughly 2,050 years ago, right? And thank God he chooses these things for us. So I want to point out a picture of the fact that God is way above where we're thinking. God is way above and way beyond where we might want to see him do the things that we want him to do. He's even farther above that. So his sovereignty in just his timing and his purpose and his ways are so much higher. And I'm pretty sure there's a verse about that, right? Yeah, there is. There is. They're so much higher than ours. And there are many things that we get to choose, right? We get to choose our jobs. We get to choose our clothes. We get to choose our words. We get to choose how we speak, where we buy our house, who we marry. Some people, you know, maybe a shotgun wedding. So you didn't choose to, you know, just kidding. But we choose many things, and we choose them every day, right? So the question is, are we in alignment with truth, or are we living in maybe like a semi-alignment in truth, or are we totally backwards from truth? And so I want you guys to think about this today in your own life as we're going through this, the choices that we make. Are we seeking alignment? Are we in alignment? Are we off kiltered a little bit, or are we flipped around backwards and heading the wrong direction? And hopefully, if you're in here this morning, you're not going the opposite direction. But maybe you are. Like I said, I'm not very good at this, so I'm trying to find my place again. All right. Has our American dreams become the controlling factor in our lives? Now, there's nothing wrong with having money, having property, having comfortable times and things in our lives, but how tight do we hold on to those things? Would you still honor God and trust God if he asked you to give it all away? And if he did, would you actually give it away? And there's a little story in the Bible about a rich man, right? And he comes up to Jesus at this point in the story and just says, "What must I do to receive heaven?" Jesus says, "Well, sell everything you have, give it to the poor." Sorry. Yeah, I think he's to give it away. Maybe it was. I can't remember. Should have read it. Anyway, it's either give it away or sell it, right? You get the concept. And give it to the poor and just follow me. And it was so hard for him. We don't know what exactly happened, if he actually did it or not, but we know that it was a hard thing, and we don't know where it went from there. My assumption is maybe he walked away and said, "That's too much." But maybe he walked away and said, "Okay." And we don't have to hear about the rest, you know? So if you're in that position, maybe you've never given God, is like, have you given him the ability to tell you these things and you follow them? That's the important piece of that story. Are you giving him the importance in your life and the trust in your life that you can go and go beyond the things that you desire to give him exactly what he desires? And that's stuff that happens in here. When God chose to love us so much as to send his son to earth as a baby and then take on all our sin so that we could have life, the one who was sinless bore all our sins we have ever done, we ever will do, and he bore him on that cross and stood in the place of our condemnation. I was guilty, condemned to eternal separation from God. But that perfect baby that we sing about, that came that day over 2,000 years ago, shed his blood for me, paid the price for my sin, and he paid the price for yours as well. This life in all its glory and riches that we can build on this earth is worth nothing. All that matters is if you have Jesus as your king, Jesus as your motivation, Jesus as your comfort, Jesus as your riches. He's the only thing that could satisfy your wages of sin in your place, and the only thing that can satisfy your heart's true desire. So what's your choice today? I hope that everyone in this room has already made the choice to make him the king of your life, and you're just celebrating with me. But if there is anybody in this room that has not done that, search your heart this morning. That's why we're here. It's to honor him. It's to praise him. And if that doesn't change your life, then you're not doing it right. You're not doing it right. So today is another day of choices. Do you choose for Jesus to be your king today? Let's pray real quick. God, we thank you so much. God, this message is so complicated in our minds sometimes, but your words are so simple, and your heart for us is so simple. And God, if we can just trust in you, Lord, that we will find comfort, and we will find that peace, and no matter what we see in front of our face, God, no matter if we can't even see the step in front of us, that we find that peace through you, and we just praise you for that. God, we pray that everyone in this room would find peace today, but only real peace. Not a counterfeit peace. Not a comfort that comes from having the right amount of money in the bank or the retirement set up or whatever. That's not comfort, God. We want your comfort today. Yeah, we pray for that. Yeah, we thank you for your endless love for us. That no matter how bad we may think that we have been, your love never changed for us from the beginning. And it's always just been so consuming. So God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that and sending your son, Jesus, and then we celebrating him today and tomorrow. And God, I just pray we celebrate that the rest of our lives. God, we thank you for what you did by putting him on the cross for our sins. We love you this morning. We praise you in your name. Amen. Amen. Well, it's obviously not a turkey burner service where it's only 11:06. But I don't really get an opportunity to sing with my brother very often. Would you guys be okay if we sang a song? Would you guys be okay with that? Jason, would you swing up here? I'm going to stall till you get here. Yeah, printed off this song just a few minutes ago. So I hope he knows it, yeah. But we want to bless you guys if we could and just sing a song for you. And what else can I say while I'm trying to get the mic set up? Oh, it's stuck. Okay. And then once we're done singing this, Arby, would you come and close for us? All right. Can you shove that in there? No.
Check, check.
Without breaking it. Sorry, we're not trying to put on a show. We just want to bless you guys, okay?
And when you're
that
little,
all right?
When your little brother has the microphone, you do whatever he says.
Yeah. My turn. All right, you guys are welcome to sing with us if you'd like to. Should I stay on the other side so I can see the words? Okay, he's going to start it.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's name. Lonely the world in sin and ever pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its turn. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices.
Oh, night divine.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you, Jason and Johnny. I was going to close singing a song, but, you know, after that, I'm just going to call it. Life is full of choices. What do you do when life throws you a curveball? Hopefully you swing the bat. Hopefully you still swing the bat. Life is full of choices, intersections. Will we go left? Will we go right? Will we say yes? Will we say no? The biggest choice, obviously, is Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Lord and King of your life is the best choice you will ever make because it comes with eternal value. Life everlasting. That's what Jesus Christ came, born as a babe, died on the cross, so that you and I might inherit eternal life for us. That's what today is all about. It's fun to sing and it's fun to cheer about books written, but I never would have done that if God hadn't given me a dream. I had a choice to make, follow what he put in my heart to do, or say, no, I'm not a writer. I'm not an author. I still don't feel like I am. But I am obedient to God and what God asked me to do. I will keep giving him my yes over and over. And sometimes it's wonderful and amazing, and sometimes it's a really rough road to walk out. But there is nothing more important that you can do with your life than give God your yes when he asks, when he calls. And it's not always a bed of roses. It's not always wonderful and easy. But it is worthwhile giving God your yes. And for some of those yeses, we will never see the benefits or the results until we're in eternity. And it's having faith, knowing that God is good and trustworthy and faithful and true. So persevere, endure, give God your yes.